All right. Well, welcome back to This or That podcast. Kyle's headphones are gone.
Headphones just died.
Well, we're going to have a little reverb of my voice now.
Yep. It's gonna be one great. Second.
It's going to be great, guys. Well, I'm going to keep eating my dinner. Because I haven't eaten yet. All right, we good?
We are good.
All right. Well, sorry for the delay. Kyle's headphones just decided to stop working for some reason.
Yep. Decided Darn to just power down on me.
Darn Same headphones. Headphone. Dang it, Bluetooth. Anyways, we're going to kick things off here with the week in review. I'll start off with my top five games of the week. Game number one, Rams-Bills. Rams beating the Bills 44-42. Definitely a tight game there. Bit of a shootout, if you will. It seemed like it was a really, really good game, just like highlight-wise. And, you know, everybody kind of going off. Obviously, the guy that you said, Puka Nacua, going off there. Obviously, yep, I was wrong. You're right. So, yeah, I'll eat that steak and some more. Game number two coming in top five is the number five Georgia Bulldogs beating number two Texas Longhorns in overtime in the SEC Championship 22-19. That was a very good game to watch. It was very enjoyable. Obviously, I wanted Texas to win, but, you know, can't win them all. Coming in at number three, number 17, Clemson, being number 8, SMU. No surprise there with Clemson being SMU, beating them 34-31. So I was thinking actually SMU was going to win that game, but, you know, again, I'm wrong.
Yeah,
right? I think we got a theme going here. I think we got a theme going here, Kyle.
That's hard to pick.
You want to hear another SMU one? You want to hear another one? Number 9, Duke, beats number 2, Auburn, 84-78. Guess what? I was wrong on that pick, too. And then finally, number 4, Kentucky, beating number 7, Gonzaga, 90-89 in overtime. I didn't pick that one. I don't think I would have picked Gonzaga, but I don't know. I'll just say I was wrong on that one, too.
Yeah, that was a tough week. Yeah, we win some, we lose some. My top five games for this week, just like yours, I had Georgia-Texas. I, too, was pulling for Texas. I thought they could pull that one off. They had the lead. They had their chance to take it at halftime, but Georgia, they come in with a backup quarterback. He plays better than the starting quarterback. They come back and win 22-19. Good game. It's my number one. Number two, I'll give it to the Penn State-Oregon game because it was just an exciting game to watch. High scoring right before half. It was the most points ever scored before half in a Big Ten championship game, so it's better than these last 13-10 kicking games you usually see in the Big Ten. Oregon shows they're for real. Penn State still showing they can't win the big game. So that was my number two. My number three, like yours, I had the Clemson-SMU game. Clemson was kind of just routing them most of the game. The only reason SMU makes it into the playoffs now is because how they responded to that game. They came back, only lost by 3 from a game-winning field goal kick. So give it to SMU. They stuck with it. They didn't just get blown out, and it basically gave them that opportunity to make to the playoffs. My number four game is probably the highest scoring game of the NFL week. It was the Rams and Bills. Super exciting game, back and forth, just nonstop points in any fantasy aspects of that game. Like I said, Puka, that's his go-to guy right now. He just is a target hog. Josh Allen, MVP, he just kind of solidified it right now that he's probably going to win that MVP race. And then my last game, game five, I have the Michigan Wolverines basketball team upsetting Wisconsin 67-64 in Madison. It was a huge game for them. That was a tough game going to in Madison when they were ranked 11, first big road game, and they pulled it out. It was a good win. Still got to work on the turnovers, but it was a good win for them.
Yeah, they had a pretty good week other than the loss to Arizona recently. Watched that game, but hopefully they'll turn it around. Or Arkansas, sorry.
And nah, then, that Arkansas game was a great game, and it will take me to my top. It'll just take me straight to my top five games because my number one was Michigan basketball, so we'll just talk about it for a sec. They looked awesome in that game. They started out up 16 within like the first 9 minutes of the game. It's the only thing that's been causing Michigan trouble this whole year. It's turnovers. All they do is turn the ball over nonstop. They're averaging like 18 turnovers a game, and it's sloppy turnovers. They get the 18 turnovers down to like that 10, 11 mark. It's still high, but that's a good average to be at. They're blowing teams out, and they're not giving up leads. So they're going to have their ups and downs this season. If they play a game where they're only at 9, 10 turnovers, they can beat any team in the country, in my opinion. With the 2 7-footers, it's almost impossible to guard that Danny Wolf. He's a 7-footer that brings the ball up and handles it like a point guard, so I'm impressed with them. I did not see them coming out this strong. They've already matched their total wins from last year in the first 9 games of the season. So,
it's definitely a good positive to have, definitely this early in the season.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a tough matchup with them coming up here in Charlotte, against Oklahoma.
Undefeated Oklahoma team.
So now, they gotta prove it against them, that's for sure.
I said if they could come out of that stretch with the Arkansas-Oklahoma game, if they can go 1 out of 2 in that little stretch, I'd be happy. I wouldn't expect you to win both, but I'm fine with the Arkansas loss. It was an exciting game. It was for a good cause, and both teams are good teams. They just showed it. So go ahead.
I was working the coaches show, the Michigan Inside Michigan Basketball Coaches Show, and okay. Drake, He capitalized on why they wanted to be a part of this. Like, other than the contributions to the Jimmy V Foundation and the cancer awareness and all that, it's a setting. It's basically a NCAA tournament-like setting. You're in a neutral, area. You're in New York City, which sometimes the tournament goes through that city no matter what, like even if it's the Final Four or, one of your regional conferences, or sometimes you're going to be going through New York City and you got to play in Madison Square Garden in front of a big audience. That's why they weren't shying away. Like they signed up not even knowing what their real lineup was at the time. Like they didn't know who their starters were when they signed up for this game. So, hats off to them to even come out with that kind of a loss. Obviously, we hope that was a good loss. Wish it was a win,
always. But that's a good loss. If you're going to lose a game, that's a good loss. That's a quad one loss. That's not going to hurt you at the end of the year. We'll go on. We'll keep going on. My number two team is Georgia. Georgia, basically, everybody was kind of counting them out after these last couple losses they had. And looked terrible in the first half against Texas. If you looked at the stat sheet, it looked like Texas should have been up by like 30 points at halftime. But they stuck to it, come back and win the SEC championship. So, and then end up right back in that first round bye. My number three team is going to be, or teams of the week would be, I kind of combined them. I'm just pretty much saying ACC. SMU and Clemson both sneak into the playoffs. We'll get in more to the seeding, but it's still team of the week.
Because that's for entertainment. It's talking about this bowl season, the college playoff football committee. I mean, I don't want to rip them apart already. You already got me going, man.
Well, we get into it later. But, I'll give it to SMU and Clemson. Two ACC teams make it in for the first time in a while, I think, since like Florida State Clemson did it one time. But it's usually the two SEC teams. So it's nice to see some different, especially SMU. They haven't been relevant since the Pony Express days back in the 80s. So
I mean, for them to come in and be in the conference for the first year, like them, Oregon, and then Texas. You got three teams, first year in the new conference. They all get in.
Almost win, all of them.
Well, one out of three wins.
Yeah.
But all three make it to the championship game for their conference is definitely a statement to, like, notice, I guess.
Yep. We'll go to my number four team, Oregon. Like you just mentioned, to keep it simple, they join the Big Ten, go undefeated, redeem themselves from last year losing in this big game. Well, they're
totally redeem yourself.
Yep, and they totally redeem themselves right here in the Big Ten. So won the Big Ten championship, first year in undefeated, number one seed. That's a great year for them. They're my number four team. And my number five team is going to be Arizona State. I mean, out of the depths, they came out of nowhere this year, and everyone pretty much didn't think they – I mean, they hurt my bets a lot this year because I was betting against them. So they have a stud running back, a good quarterback. I don't think they're going to do too much in the playoffs. Probably going to be a first game bye, but it's still cool to see them in the playoffs. So those will be my top five.
All right, and then my top five teams of the week. I got the Georgia Bulldogs sitting up there at number one for their football win against the Texas Longhorns in the SEC championship again. Yeah, I'll just ride on your back with, yeah, that was an unexpected win for them, thinking Longhorns were going to pull it away. It's hard to beat a team twice, and they pulled it off. I mean, and then I got at my number two, Missouri Tigers upsetting number one Kansas 76-67 previously this week. Kansas, that wasn't their first upset loss, but Kansas starting to kind of showing their colors now.
And they got like three in a row now.
Yep. And then number three, Oregon Ducks. Yep. Same thing as you, pulling off the Big Ten win, going into the championship or the college football playoff, I should say, as the number one seed. Number four, Penn State men's basketball, upsetting number eight, Purdue, 81-70. They coming in at number four. That's a pretty big win for them, especially for Big Ten play. I know I want to put Michigan there, but Purdue's a pretty stellar team to, like, you know, beat, especially in Big Ten play.
Yeah.
And then number five, I got the Duke Blue Devils men's basketball team. They're pulling off some big wins here lately, you know.
Yeah, they're bouncing back from a tough start.
Yeah.
Yeah, and going on to your Penn State just beat Iowa State too.
Oh yeah, in basketball. Yeah, that just happened.
Yeah, they just blew them out.
So
theirs was overtime.
Yeah, well, they're a team to watch definitely after those two wins, I would say. Now,
it feels like all the Big Ten teams. It's basically once you go on the road to a Big Ten game, the home team wins no matter what, almost.
Yep. And so that leads to my top five players from the Duke Blue Devils being my number five. Well, guess what? Number one is Miles Kelly. He goes 5-for-7 for the field goals. He goes 4-for-5 for the three-pointers and ends up with 14 points there in that game between Duke and Auburn in that basketball game. That's definitely some good stats to, you know, have right there. And then number two is Tamar Bates from Missouri with his win over Kansas. He went 9-for-15 from the field goal, 2-for-5 from the three-point line, and ends up with 29 points.
That's a big game.
That is absurd.
That's a big game right there.
This kid freaking carried the team on his back. Like,
really,
he's just like, all right, guys, just hop on. We're going to win this game, guys.
That's a lot of points in college.
Yeah, especially for basketball, like, for real. Like, that's – you don't see many NBA players doing that. Like, I mean –
no.
Every now and then you'll see one or two, but
yeah, it's usually the superstars that get that done.
Yeah, and then number three, Dylan Gabriel with his win in the Big Ten with 283 yards and four touchdowns. Number four, Trevor Etienne from Georgia with 94 yards and two touchdowns. And then at number five, well, I'm gonna have to face him this Sunday, Josh Allen. 342 yards with three touchdowns.
Awesome.
I don't like seeing that, but he's up there on my top five player board of the week.
Oh yeah, he's on mine as well. My top five. Number one, the guy that's come back from the grave, Sam Darnold, 347 yards and five touchdowns. Awesome game. He's having an awesome year. We'll see how he does under pressure in the playoffs, but it's pretty cool to watch him bounce back actually on a good team for once in his career. My number two will be Ja'Marr Chase, like usual. 14 catches for 177 yards and two touchdowns. He was definitely not everyone's favorite player because that was on a Monday night, so that probably hurt a lot of people's fantasy hopes making it to the playoffs. because that would have been the last game before playoffs started for a lot of leagues. So that's pretty big game for a Monday night. My number three, just like yours, I got to take Josh Allen. What that might be the game of the year, fantasy-wise at least. Like you said, 332 yards, three touchdowns to the air, almost 100 yards rushing, and three more touchdowns on the ground. That's unheard of. That's better than Lamar stats. Number four, got to go to my boy Puka. Puka got 12 for 162 and two total touchdowns. He's just a monster, and I mean, it's crazy. The way he plays, he looks like just a veteran out there. I feel like he's just been playing his whole career for the Rams, but it's only his second year, so be excited to watch him play for the next 10, 12 years. My number five, I got to go with the Georgia. He didn't have really a big game, but he led the comeback of Georgia beating Texas, so I got to give it to Gunnar Stockton. Five-star recruit. Not really. I think he only played like one game during regular season and like garbage time, so to be able to come in at halftime down by about, I think it was like 10 points, the offense was basically anemic the whole first half. And he comes out and pretty much, I mean, it was kind of a game-managing game, but he put up 17 points for that offense pretty much when Carson Beck only put up three in the first half. So, got to give him my love and for my top five players.
I hear that. And, yeah, I mean, gut reactions to all that, for at least on my part, is it sounds like basketball is my favorite sport. No, it's not. It's not, and it's gonna be hard. It's gonna be hard for me to fill this out when we lose football 1 week of full of just hockey and basketball. I'm gonna be struggling.
Yeah, it's gonna be hard to fill these out. Like, what are we gonna do for the whole year?
What are we gonna do?
We're gonna be naming players on here no one's even heard of.
It's just be like who?
Who? Some Russian?
Who is that? That's not Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah, what? I only know Wayne Gretzky. Michael Jordan? I'll go with my gut reactions. Going back with the Darnold, Vikings will go as far as Darnold, in my opinion. It's what Darnold are you going to get when it comes to crunch time and playoffs? Because with no pressure.
Like he's got to show up and then the Vikings will win kind of thing is what you're saying.
Yeah, he looks really good. When he's not being pressured, he's insane inside that pocket. The minute you put pressure on him and he starts throwing interceptions, he's starting to look like the old Sam Darnold. But I guess we'll see. I mean, they have a stellar defense, one of the best defenses in the league. I think they still play the Lions one more time, which that will be a huge game because that's going to be kind of NFC North stocks right there. So
I believe it's the last game of the season because normally we play – like either the Packers, the Bears, or the Vikings, very last game of the season. Yep. And I think that's our last game of the season because we've already played the Packers twice. We've already played the Bears once. But I think we get the Bears next week. Yeah, we get the Bears after the Bills, so it makes sense.
Yep, so this game right now for Detroit is a big game for them because it's looking like that last game of the season against the Vikings is going to come down to winner takes the NFC North. So... And my other gut reaction, we'll just go Michigan basketball's for real. I don't think there's really any questions anymore. Mm-hmm. I think if they can just clean up the turnovers, they're a for real team this year. They are going to be in the tournament as long as they just don't choke, which I don't think they will. Dusty May is a good coach from what I've seen.
Yeah, he's going to coach them up. He's going to get them good together.
Their players are for real. Danny Wolf's a monster. They're going to win games this year, and I could see them getting in 5-6 seeds somewhere in there. So – at the very least, a 5-6 seed, but they could easily fix their turnover issues and just win the Big Ten. It could be between them and Purdue or them and Illinois or them and Michigan State. So yeah. I think the Big Ten's just wide open right now, and Michigan will be right up there in the running for it this year.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I have a feeling they're gonna have a good Big Ten season. They're gonna get through all the finals that they've got to get through, and then they're gonna have the Christmas break coming up, and then they'll be right back at it, well rested, ready to go.
Yep, clean the turnovers, and that team's going to be looking scary.
All right, and so that leads us to our next segment of entertainment. We're going to be talking about the bowl season today, guys. I mean, did the college football blah 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 Did the College Football Playoff Committee get it right? My answer is no. They
and
did
mine
not.
Is yes, they did.
They did not get it right. Indiana should be out and Army should be in where Indiana is. No, if you put both those teams up against each other, I would think Army wins. I'm sorry. Army won their championship. Yep. There's too many Big Ten teams in the dang conference. Like, there's too many SEC teams, if you ask me, too. But, yeah, I guess we got to take, you know, the big game matchups. But that's the one thing for me. It's like, I think Army should be in. They are a one-loss team. I know the American Conference is not that strong of a conference, but at the end of the day, they proved themselves.
No, yeah. There's no saying that Army's not.
If they beat Notre
Dame
and they went undefeated, they're definitely in.
Oh, absolutely. But
no doubt.
They had to beat Notre Dame because that's their only opponent, really, they played this year. That is what it came down to. Yeah, Indiana's only, like, doesn't really
put them as the 12 seed or 11 seed and make them prove themselves against one of the higher seeds.
I would be all for it. I'd be for
That's what I'm saying. Just take Indiana out, move everybody else up a seed,
I'd be more okay with taking SMU out and putting Army in for them.
Okay.
Indiana played a much tougher schedule, even though they didn't really play a tough schedule than SMU. If you looked at SMU's schedule, SMU played a terrible schedule. It's just hard to take SMU out of that spot because it's hard to punish. You can't punish a team for losing the conference championship game. You just can't do it. Well, otherwise, why would you play it? Like, if you knew you're going in, let's say, like, Vanderbilt surprises everyone, made it to the conference championship, and then they have to play Georgia. It's like, oh, well, great. Now we're just getting blown out. Why do we even play this if we're automatically in right now? Why do we need to lose? So, yeah, I just don't think you can punish teams for making the conference championship. I would have loved to see Army, and I think you have a better argument for why isn't Army in over Notre Dame. Because Notre Dame beat them. But, so, Army's only loss is to a five-ranked Notre Dame. Notre Dame's only loss is to a 5-7 Northern Illinois team that finished, like, almost last in their conference. And a mid, like, a MAC school, basically. So,
yep.
You almost have a better argument for, like, Notre Dame maybe should not have been in over them, but I think they did get it right.
Well, I'll take it. Army over anybody else. Like, I'm just picking out Indiana just because I know there's three Big Ten teams in.
It's hard to punish Indiana because, I mean, they –
Or
I
no,
know
four.
Like,
there's four. Like, it's
– Yeah, you got
Penn State, Ohio State,
Oregon, and Indiana.
Yeah. Like, that's a little too many for me. Like, three is enough from each conference. Like, I mean, if you have a Power Four conference, three from each conference makes sense. A fourth one does not. Like, it just doesn't comprehend with me because, yeah, you have that third one that could have possibly made it into the, you know, conference tournament if they won or lost a certain game. But at the end of the day, they're like, are we going to have, like, a conference tournament now for football? Like, is this what it's going to come to? Like,
I think it'll get better,
that's what's going to lead us to the next thing.
I mean, honestly, though, like, no matter how many teams that you can put in the playoffs, this conversation will always be had. It could be a 64 team NFL or college football playoff. We're still going to have this conversation. It's like, why is this team not in and not the other? Why isn't the 65th team not in? It's going to happen every year. Every year you're going to have someone upset because they think they deserve to be in. But to me, like, Indiana deserves it more. They only lost to Ohio State by, 15 points at Ohio State. So, yeah, their games weren't the greatest wins, but you don't plan that the year before. You don't know how good these teams are going to be the year before they play them. So, yeah. And their average win was, like, by 30 points to every game. So, I mean, when they blew teams out, they blew teams out. They won the games they were supposed to win, and I guess you just get rewarded for it. Yeah, I would have loved to see Army in. It would have been entertaining, at least.
Yep, sorry, Florida State. You didn't make it for the second year in a row. Moving on, the Big 12 Alamo Bowl. So, this is something that I want to talk about. Like, is this something we're going to see a little bit more often, Kyle? Like, because these two teams didn't play each other. You got BYU versus Colorado. They didn't play each other at all during the season. They didn't schedule each other. And now they're playing in a bowl game. And This is the first time, at least for our era, like me and you, like for the past 30 or so years, this is the first time I've seen
two teams from
the same conference play in the same bowl game.
You usually don't see an interconference bowl game. But
unless it is like that college football playoff, you know, setup, and then, yeah, you got Alabama versus Georgia for the championship. That's the only other time you've ever seen that.
I think they were just trying to make it a interesting game, kind of like two teams that were previously a couple years bad, and then like, oh, they're really good. Let's see how good they actually are, and let them play each other, kind of game. Or it was a weird matchup, but it'll be entertaining.
Let's just say this: guess who doesn't play each other at all next season? Obviously, Michigan and Ohio State are playing each other, right?
Michigan doesn't play Penn State again next year.
Guess the two teams that, like, guess the one team that both those teams don't play at all.
Michigan and Ohio State? They don't play Oregon. I don't think either one played. Yeah,
there you
go. Year. Yeah.
So what if, like, one of the two teams, like, depending on their schedule and, like, how it outcomes, they have the same record as Oregon. They both don't make it into the college football playoff. And they get to play each other in a bowl game?
Yeah. How about this? Hear me out on this. I'm
Rose Bowl Part 2?
I'm all for this because
if they're not playing at the Rose Bowl, I ain't watching it. I'm sorry. Like, because that's where the Pac-12 and Big 12 normally play. But
Me out on this. So I think in the future what they should do, and I think it'll be make bowl games a lot more entertaining, at least for the next, like the teams that don't make it 13 to whatever, have an NIT tournament.
I mean,
just like they do in basketball. So instead of just putting these stupid bowl games that, for like, well, we'll get to in my next one, where like Michigan's playing Alabama for God knows why, like why? How was that a matchup even possible? But instead, how about you do a tournament 13-24? They have their separate tournament for an NIT rounds.
Yep.
And you just do bowl games that way. 13 plays them, they play them, play them, and just have their own little separate tournament and just have bowl games associated with the two best teams playing each other, the two next best play each other.
I've seen three analysts. You got Charlie Burris, you got Dave, what's his last name? But I got Charlie pulled up here, and he's got the same idea as you right here.
Yeah, and then
NIT posted on X. He's got the number one seed being Miami, number two seed being Ole Miss, three seed being South Carolina, four seed being Iowa State, which those are pretty good, you know, teams to have the bye, right? And then you got Clemson hosting Army. Clemson's the five seed, and then you got BYU hosting Colorado. BYU being the sixth seed.
See, that's why they have that kind of matchup in that bowl game. That would be such a cool idea to do that.
Yeah, and like, I'd be all for that.
That would be an awesome watch. We would literally have December Madness, January Madness, take a month off. Now we got March Madness. It'd be awesome. Just brackets, brackets, brackets everywhere.
Just everywhere.
Just put everywhere.
Brackets everywhere.
Brackets everywhere.
It's Alex's dream.
Alex's
dream is coming alive. Brackets are just everywhere.
So, yeah, I think that's what they should do in the future. It would make bowl games a lot more entertaining because no one watches these stupid bowl games. It's just dumb. No one's going to watch them. So, yeah. We'll go to your next topic on this with the worst bowl matchup because I just mentioned it.
We both agree on the worst bowl matchup.
It's the worst matchup. I don't understand it. When I saw it, I thought it was fake news. I was like, what the
– make it make sense.
Why is the number 13th ranked team – playing the 38th ranked team?
Why is Chewbacca on indoor? Chewbacca on indoor?
Is it just to give Alabama some like FaceTime? Like here we go. We're gonna blow Michigan out. Do I even want to watch this game? Because it's not gonna be entertaining whatsoever. Alabama's probably gonna beat them by 30 points.
No, it's probably Alabama's doing. They probably are like, yeah, let's just wait and see who goes where. Because literally, we were the first team. Like, because I was sitting there on Sunday because I had to work my basketball game, right? And since I had to work the basketball game, I had to keep my eye more on the bowl stuff rather than watching Sunday football, right?
Yeah.
And so I was just watching the bowls and how the teams were, like, going in and all that. Michigan claims to go to the RyQuest first. They were going there first.
Yeah, because I thought the original plan was then to play Florida.
Yeah, that it was supposed to
and
be
And I'm okay
them.
With that. That would have been a cool game. It was two teams that were having a bad year.
And that's why Michigan agreed to it, because the thing was, because I worked for Florida, and what I heard through the grapevine was we were going to be playing in Tampa hands down. So with it being playing in Tampa hands down, it's either the ReliaQuest Bowl or the bowl that they're actually – no, it's the –
Or they changed the name of the Capital One?
The Gasparilla Bowl.
Okay, the one in Orlando?
No, Tampa.
Well, I'm saying what's the one in Orlando? Isn't it always the Capital One they always play in?
No, the Capital One, that's
– There's I one in Orlando. Michigan always played Florida in all the time.
Oh, the Outback Bowl.
Outback Bowl, They always play Florida or South Carolina in those.
That is now the Pop-Tarts Bowl. That's my
What Miami's playing in?
That's my favorite bowl matchup. It's the Miami-Iowa State game. That's my favorite matchup because you got a number 13 team who had, wishy-washy team.
Why didn't Alabama play Miami?
I don't know.
That would have been a much better game to watch was Alabama versus Miami. We could see how good Miami was. If Alabama goes in and blows them out, okay, Miami did not deserve to be in it.
Oh, that's for sure. Yeah, I definitely can be completely behind that. But I think the thing was is they had too many ACC versus SEC matchups because
the
announcement before that one, Kyle, guess what? You've got Duke playing Ole Miss.
Why are they playing Ole Miss? Why are they just giving SEC teams, like, the teams that barely made bowl eligibility, like, oh, hey, you're the second best team in the SEC. You go play this team now for a bowl game. Yeah, we'll show them how good the SEC is.
Exactly. Like, that's what they want
to
do.
That's all we're doing. Yeah, that's all we're trying to do. Like, look, we just destroyed all these teams in our bowl matchups. It's like, yeah, because you just played all the worst teams.
Yeah, that's why I'm like I'm not so stoked about the game that I have to work because Florida's got to play Tulane.
And, yeah, that was a weird one too. I mean,
Tulane made it. Yeah, they made it all the way to their championship. They played a hell of a season, and yeah, Florida's probably got a little bit of a challenge in front of them. But I don't know. Like, with the American Conference, like if you're not gonna let Army in, then.
Yeah, why doesn't Army play like Alabama or Army play?
Yeah, like that's what
Ole Miss.
I'm saying. Like, yeah,
put these good teams that just miss going to the playoffs. Let them play each other.
Yeah,
if you're not going to do like a tournament style, just have like 13 play 14, 15 play 16, and that's your bowl games now.
Like, stop trying to be like in ties
the
with the
yeah. They
the,
want
the
conferences
SC to look that they normally have. Like that, not everybody's the Rose Bowl, and guess what they did to the Rose Bowl. Like, the Rose Bowl's, like, obviously going to be hosted by either the Big Ten or if the Pac-12 somehow comes back into fruition of being a Power Four school or conference, it's going to be one of those two teams to host because it's going to be that first bye no matter what because it's not going to leave January 1st because that was the deal
that
it made.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, that's
it has to be played on New Year's Day. It's got to play on New Year's Day.
So that's the thing. It's always going to be on New Year's Day and probably always going to be hosted by a Big Ten champion now.
Yep.
Like,
or
that's
the Big Ten or the Pac-12. Well, yeah, no more Pac-12, but yeah. The Big Ten champion will always play in the Rose Bowl.
But that's what I'm saying, too. Like, if the Pac-12 actually, like, comes back.
Makes a comeback. Makes a comeback, yeah.
Like, because they're going to have eight teams this next coming season.
But you
– I don't see, with the eight teams that they have, like, the only team that could probably do it is Boise State. Right?
I think what they might do, other than that,
I don't really see any of these other teams getting.
No, I think what they might do in the future.
That,
I think what they might do in the future for the Rose Bowl is, like you said, like they want the Big Ten to be always the Rose Bowl game. The champion will be the Rose Bowl game for the first, basically the first round bye. Yep. I think what they'll do is when the Pac-12 comes back, because you can't match them up. You're never gonna have. I mean, you might get lucky and you get a Pac-12 Big Ten team playing in the Rose Bowl. You can't match them up that way.
Or you could do Ohio State to go into the Rose Bowl to play Oregon. So you could do Ohio State versus a Pac-12 team.
But I think what they'll do is no matter what, a Big Ten or a Pac-12 team will be hosting the Rose Bowl game. So let's say the Big Ten champions ranked 5, or they were the 4 seed, the Pac-12 champions, the 3 seed. The Pac-12 team is going to get the Rose Bowl game this year, not the Big Ten team.
Yeah.
So at least one of them will be hosting that. So they don't have to worry about matchups trying to get a Big Ten Pac-12 matchup. They'll have at least one of them representing
it. Right.
But yeah, well, I'll just go real quick into my favorite bowl matchup. It was Clemson, Texas. It's generic, but I just want to see how good Clemson. I mean, it's kind of like the battle of, are these two teams actually any good? Let's see how good they are, because like Texas didn't really play anybody this year, and the two teams they played, they lost to the same team twice. So yeah. Clemson's the same boat. They really didn't have that good of a schedule. The only games that they played tough teams, they lost. So I'll be curious to see how they go with it.
Well, except SMU, but still.
But and then SMU case is the same thing. It's like, well, they also didn't play anybody. I mean, the ACC just wasn't really that good this year.
Yeah. All right. And that moves us along to the upcoming week. So we're doing this a little bit differently. We're going to do just top five games to watch, and then the team to watch in the game, and then the player to watch within that game. It's in the game, within the game, within the game.
It's in the game. It makes it gel a little bit smoother instead of separating it. It doesn't feel as redundant. And the other topics are just gone. They're all gone. And it's gone.
You see a cloud, a pretty little cloud.
Look, I'm a butterfly.
I'm a butterfly, Stan.
All right. Well, I'll go ahead and start because I think we have a couple, or I think at least we have one of the same. My number one, we talked about a little bit earlier, Bills and Lions. So with the Bills and Lions, my team to watch, I mean, honestly, it's such a good matchup. You kind of are looking at both teams because they both have a lot to play for right here. Bills can't afford another loss. I mean, if they want to keep up with the Chiefs and try to get home field advantage, they kind of need to win this game. Lions, same thing. If they want to take the NFC North, it's crazy it sounds, with only one loss on the season, this is like almost a must-win for them right now, because 3 weeks down the road, they got to play the Vikings, and who knows, it could be Vikings with two losses, Lions with one loss going in there. So this game would be a huge kind of, you don't want to lose this game and then kind of have to go perfect the rest of the season to have a sure way of clinching the North. So my players I would like to watch in this one, obviously, is the two big ones. I could just say Josh Allen, but this is kind of boring. Josh Allen's going to do Josh Allen things. I think this game's going to be a shootout, so I could see this game being crazy points. Players, I mean, I would like to see how Jared Goff does in this kind of matchup with a high-scoring game. He seems to thrive when it comes to these indoor games that become high-scoring games. I feel like he makes me nervous when it's like a 16-13 game and he's got to like be more careful. The offense is kind of being anemic today. That's where I feel like he struggles a little bit more. But when it's like just a straight up 44-45 game, he looks good in those games. So I'd like to see how he plays in this. I think he's going to have a big game. I think it's just going to be like a bonanza type of game.
I hear you there. They're at my top number one as well in my top five games to watch, Bills Lions, because, I mean, yeah, it's going to be a matchup. It's one that's been circled on the calendar for almost everybody. You got CBS going there to be live to do their like pregame stuff. They're live, so it's going to be something fun to watch on TV.
This game should have been a primetime game. It should have been like Sunday night or something.
That's what a lot of people are saying, but it was already signed off with CBS and all that, and so CBS just moved it back to be there 4 o'clock.
And I guess the Lions just played on Thursday night, so it would be kind of unfair to them to have to keep doing these primetime games.
So it makes sense. And then obviously my player to watch is obviously the dynamic duo, Sonic and Knuckles. I mean, I want to see them, you know, do their thing, go off and get a touchdown each and, you know, win the game for us.
I like it. My number two, I've got the Eagles and Steelers. So, there you go. It's just back to back. I feel like these are just the two biggest games in the NFL this week. The other ones are kind of just like, meh. That's not as much entertaining. I think this game's going to be more entertaining in the opposite way the Bills and Lions are going to be entertaining. I don't think it's going to be really an entertaining game. I think it's going to be kind of a more defensive game battle. Yeah, because I think I just have that feeling. It's like I feel the Eagles play so well when Saquon can run the ball. And I just don't think he's going to have his best game today. I think it's – or that game. I think it's going to be like a 60-yard game, maybe a touchdown for him. But the Steelers' defense is no joke, and neither are the Eagles' defense. So, and the Steelers, I think, are going to be without George Pickens, so there's their deep ball threat.
Yep.
So, yeah, I just feel like both teams, again, it's like it's hard to pick a team to watch. They're just both good teams to watch. Like, they're both in the hunt for winning their division still. And the Eagles are right behind the Lions also for winning the NFC. I think they're only two losses too, so they're one game behind the Lions. I think the Steelers are only two games behind the Chiefs. So the Chiefs,
and they're one behind the Bills.
Yeah, so it's like these.
Like the Bills.
Both are teams to watch. Both are teams to watch. Yeah. So
yeah,
I would say my player to watch is Jalen Hurts with the Eagles. I want to see how he's going to do. How he, because he usually doesn't play well this year when Saquon is not playing well. So we'll see how, because he's only averaging like 20 passes a game. It's going to be interesting. I would like to see how he can play without a good running game going in this game.
And I'm going to just sit here and disagree with you just to save a little bit of time. But my player to watch in this game will be Russell Wilson. He'll be the guy on the other side of the football. I feel like he's going to have a pretty good game. I mean, obviously, he's going to struggle like he normally does, but he'll figure it out against that tough Eagles defense later on in the game.
Yep. We'll go to my number three. My 3, 4, 5, I don't necessarily have players to watch. It was more teams on these. My number three is the big rivalry in basketball. Well, it hasn't been a big rivalry the last couple of years. It's been a blowout for Kentucky. So it's Louisville versus Kentucky basketball this weekend. That's a huge game for that state. I'd like to... I could go the easy round, just say the team I want to watch is Kentucky. That'd be boring. Actually, I'd like to see how Louisville plays in this game because they've actually had a decent year this year compared to the last 2 years. I think they won like 4 games last year or something like that. And the year before that was like 2 games. It was like unheard of from a Louisville team. They've already won 6 this year. They kind of went on a little skid these last couple games they've played. Kentucky's just coming off their first loss. So it'll be interesting. I want to see how Louisville plays against Kentucky in this game. If they're for real, or if Kentucky's just going to come out and blow them out. So
I hear you there. My number three is number 8 Gonzaga versus number 18 UConn in men's basketball. That'll be here on the 14th on Saturday.
Yep, a couple days.
It'll be a pretty good matchup there. I got the Gonzaga Bulldogs as a team to watch because they've had a pretty, you know, good season. It's been up and down for them. And then I got Graham Ike of Gonzaga. He has a 15-point average right now and 7-rebound average per game. So he'll be my player to watch in that game.
Nice. I like it. My number 4, it's not really a big ranked game. So it's Auburn versus Ohio State. Ohio State started really hot this year. But, I mean, they have been sliding right now. So I feel like, I mean, It's hard to blame them. They've had a brutal schedule to start college basketball. They have played some top-ranked teams, and it doesn't get any easier because, to me, I think Auburn's one of the best teams in the country. I think they're up there with Tennessee on who's better. So it'd be – because I think the game's – if I'm not mistaken, I think the game's at Ohio State, so at least they got a little bit of an advantage there. So maybe they can put it to them. I would like to see them bounce back for at least the Big Ten's sake. It'd be nice to have Ohio State being really good in there. I think the guy that's going to have to come up big for Ohio State there is Bruce Thornton. He's been their go-to guy the last few years, and if they have any chance of beating Auburn, he's going to have to light it up, especially from deep. They're going to have a good shooting game from down or from behind the arc. So
yeah,
that'd be my number 4.
That's definitely going to be tough for them to do because Auburn's been pretty much a road warrior this whole season. They have been able to win in the neutral sites. They've even gone into Cameron and beat Duke. So
they're like Tennessee. They just, from the first 9-10 games we've watched them this year, they just don't have any weakness. They just don't look like their team is going to lose many games this year.
Yeah, so my number 4 is number 11 Purdue versus number 17 Texas A&M.
And that's the
men's basketball. This is happening on Sunday. I would like to pay attention to Purdue Boilermakers because they're in the Big Ten, being, you know, Michigan Wolverines fan. Just want to watch them. And Trey Kaufman-Wren on their team. He's got 18-point average and a 6.5 rebound average right now per game. So he's a pretty stellar guy to watch on their team.
He is. Yeah, that's I won't say much into that one because that's my number five, Purdue and Texas A&M. My only ranked matchup I have on my list, but it'd be I just want to see how good Purdue, because they've had enough. They're kind of like Ohio State. They started out really hot, and then it was like after like a 5-0, 6-0 start, then it was like win a game, lose a game, win a game, lose a game. It's like I'd like to see them just kind of get steady again. So that goes to my player. I think the Purdue does well when Braden Smith does well. He's their superstar on their team. They don't have the 7'4" player this year. They still have a 7-footer, but this team runs through Braden Smith because he is their assist guy. He's their leader. He's their point guard. He averages right around 18, 20 points a game and averages like 9 assists, 8 assists a game. He's almost a double-double machine. So if Purdue's season determines on how well Braden Smith plays the rest of the year, and I think he will come up big against A&M.
I hear that. Yeah, my number five is the number 13 Oklahoma Sooners taking on the number 14 Michigan Wolverines in the Jumpman Invitational on the 18th here, coming up this next week, but it's within a week right now. So
yeah, I was gonna put them on my. I was probably gonna put them on my next week's one because we're probably gonna have it on Tuesday or Wednesday before the game. So I was like, I'll just add them onto my next week's one.
Yeah, it'll be Wednesday is when I have the next day off.
That'll be my next week's one.
So, that's definitely going to be a game to look forward to, especially with the Michigan Wolverines. Give me the golden cheddar combo, Kyle. I'd like that, please. That sounds like that'll taste really good next week. Because when they were playing against Arkansas and those two big boys were on the – they were just dealing it to each other. They were sharing the ball. They couldn't guard both of them at the same time.
Yeah, it's almost every game. Danny Wolf and Golden, it's hard to cover 2 7-footers with one of them playing like a point guard doing pick and rolls from the top of the key to each other. Yeah. It's like impossible to cover.
I was loving that the whole – and I was like, where did it go? Like the rest of the game.
Because they kept turning the ball over. Like they would just turn the ball – I think Michigan got too worried about how fast Arkansas was trying to play to begin the second half. And then when they tried to hurry up coming up the court – they were just making dumb passes, and it's almost like clockwork. Every game this happens. They start out usually really poor right off the gate, or they blow teams out right off the gate, and then here comes somewhere down the line about an 8-minute stretch of nothing but turnovers. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if there's anything Dusty May can do in there, like just start wasting timeouts right there. Just like if you just see the trend coming, just like call timeout, like just – settle them down or something, because it's like you know it's coming, that the string of 7-8 turnovers are about to happen, and it kills your momentum, and it did it against the Arkansas game.
That completely makes sense right there with all that. I mean, yeah, I haven't seen much of their games, obviously, because I got work.
Yeah, it's hard.
Unfortunately, but I was able to watch that game with Arkansas, and I was kind of liking what I was seeing with them.
Yeah, I was just saying, we lost. I would have loved to win, but that's a loss I can accept. It's just like the Wake Forest game. They played sloppy. They deserved to lose. I'm happy with the results of the game, how they looked. By the eye test, they look good. They look like a tournament team. Arkansas is going to be ranked by the end of the year. They're going to be a top 15 team, so that one's. I'm not worried about that game.
All right, so going to our gut predictions. I've got Lions over Bills, Steelers over Eagles, Bulldogs over Huskies, Gonzaga Bulldogs versus the UConn Huskies. And then I got Boilermakers over the Aggies, and then Wolverines over the Sooners.
All right. Me, I have the opposite of you. I actually think Bills are going to beat the Lions in this one. I hate to say every time I do this to Detroit, they just keep winning. It's hard to do it. I don't know. I just have a funny feeling Bills are going to win this game. It's hard to do it, though, because it's like I can't pick out a bad aspect of the Lions. Like, there's nothing to lie. It's nothing that the Lions are doing that's making me want to say this is why they're going to lose. I don't know. I just have the feeling this is a Josh Allen MVP season, and this is kind of like that MVP moment type game for him. So I could see him coming out, winning in a shootout type game, and like cementing that he is the MVP this year. I could see that kind of game. My other ones, I have the Eagles-Steelers defensive battle. I'm going to say, because it's in Pittsburgh, I believe, I'm going to go Steelers on that one. kind of a gut prediction. It goes with Ohio State Auburn. More of, I think we're going to have an upset in basketball this weekend. I think it's going to be Ohio State versus Auburn. I think Ohio State just, okay. I think they're kind of gelling a little bit more. It's in Columbus, so I know Auburn's road warriors. Ohio State's a good team. They're just missing something, and when they click it together, they look really good. They have a couple superstars on the team, so it's like they have no reason not to be good. So I think they can upset Auburn. Number four, I got Detroit's going to have a winning record for the week. I might want to change that one just because I wasn't looking too good tonight. And it finished
not looking good.
Finished 4-1. So I might want to X that one. Okay, I'll just give us one. I said winning record, not undefeated.
This is a winning record.
I might just change that. My gut predictions number four now to Lalonde will be fired this week. So
this
that'll
week?
Be my new. Yeah, he's going to be fired this week. So that's going to be my gut prediction.
All right.
My number five, your boys from Florida's first loss will be to UNC.
Okay. Okay.
That's y'all's first loss.
Okay. Not to Arizona State that they're about to play in 2 days?
Nah, I think they can beat Arizona State. I'm not really worried about Arizona State.
I'll take a win over Arizona State and a loss to Carolina.
Yep, I'll just say if they're undefeated going into UNC, I think they're losing to UNC.
Well, they're going to Charlotte. They're not going into UNC.
I know, I'm saying going they're undefeated the going into you. Playing UNC.
Yeah.
They're going to lose that game.
I hear you.
UNC's all undefeated right. in this jump, man.
They are. So hopefully they can break that little record that they've got going. All right, moving on to Fantasy Focus. The part of this whole thing that I'm terrible at. I am just like, don't listen to me. Just listen to Kyle at this point.
I mean, it's just all luck right now. I mean, I just feel like I just kind of go by matchups and some of these are just gut reactions and
yeah,
kind of by the matchups.
I hear you. So my top five QBs, I'm going with Goff and Allen. One and two, you could probably switch them. And then number three is Tua. Number four is Joe Burrow. And then CJ Stroud coming in at fifth.
Damn! Did you just take my entire top five?
I didn't want to.
You didn't even mean to, and you took literally verbatim my top five this week. I have Goff, Allen, Tua, Burrow, Stroud. It's kind of hard not to pick these five just from the matchups they have. Everyone else kind of has a tough matchup, or it's a matchup where it's so bad that I just don't think they're going to throw the ball enough to put them in this category. So it's like I don't see some of these superstars going, oh, we got to throw four touchdowns against the Las Vegas Raiders. We can just run the ball the whole time. So I think Goff, Allen, they're easily 1-2 because I think this game could be a shootout, a high-scoring shootout. How do you not put Tua in there? I think he's been like the number two quarterback in fantasy football since he's come back from the concussions, so he's got to be in there. Joe Burrow's, again, arguably the MVP if their team had a winning record. He like holds the triple crown in quarterback stats, so a top five quarterback every week. And yeah, I think Stroud's going to have that top five quarterback moment this year. He's had a struggling year, but I think the game's going to be a good game, so I think that's why he's going to put up some numbers.
I hear you.
Yeah, my top five running backs this week. I don't like it as much, but I do think Pacheco could have one of these little bounce back games as long as Kareem Hunt doesn't vulture a touchdown from him on the goal line, because it's just kind of like those revenge games. The Kareem Hunt coming back to Cleveland to play his old team type game. Maybe they'll just let him get a touchdown. But I think Pacheco could have kind of like a returning moment for him from his injury.
Gotcha.
My next or two is Jahmyr Gibbs. I mean, how do you not put Jahmyr Gibbs in there? He's just a superstar, especially with this game being a high-scoring game. I think they're just going to throw the ball more. And that means Gibbs getting involved more, because usually Montgomery only gets maybe like 2-3 catches. Gibbs is usually the receiving back more, so I think he's going to be involved a lot more. I got to add Barkley in at number three, just because even though I said earlier I don't think he's going to have a big game, he's got 1,600 rushing yards this year, so I can't not put him in there still, because he could easily just say, yep, what you just said doesn't matter. I'm still going to rush for 140 yards and two touchdowns this game.
Yeah.
I got to add in Devon Achane. It's my number four. He's just been stellar. I think they, for Dolphins' sake, they need to get the run game going. They haven't been able to run the ball lately, and I think to save Tua and not having to throw it 40 times is to get Achan going. And even if they can't, they throw to him nonstop. So he's got to be number four. My number five is Rashad White, as long as Bucky Irving's not playing. If Bucky Irving's not playing, Rashad White could easily finish as the number one running back this week because he's going to be in more of a high-scoring game. It's going to be a game script. He doesn't need rushing yards to have 20-plus points because he gets like seven catches for 80 yards and a touchdown every time he's the lead back. So if Bucky Irving's out, I could see him getting 80, 90 yards rushing, 60 yards receiving, and a couple touchdowns or at least one touchdown. So he's – as long as Bucky Irving's out, he's in my top five.
I hear you there. Yeah, so my top five, I'm kind of agreeing with you with at least three of them. I've got Gibbs and Montgomery, the Sonic and Knuckles dynamic duo. Like, obviously for me, it's like a trade-off. Like, I feel like they're both going to get a touchdown with it being somewhat of a shootout. And then I got Pacheco coming in at three with that matchup as well. And then I've got Barkley and then Achane coming in at five. You know, somewhat agree with you, just kind of hopping on your back there with that one. And then my top five wide receivers, I got Ja'Marr Chase. Then I've got Tariq Hill. And now I'm just going to eat my words from last week. I denied the guy. I didn't think he would do anything. I've got Puka coming in. Puka. And then I've got the Sun God coming in at four. And then I've got Nico for the Texans coming in because he's actually one of my fantasy pops for the coming week.
Yep. My top five, Ja'Marr Chase, Triple Crown. He's going to be the Triple Crown winner and wide receiver. He's going to lead the NFL in receptions, receiving yards, and touchdowns. So he's got to be into my number one. I think my number two is Tyreek Hill. I think he's going to have a comeback game. The team they're playing plays heavy zone coverage. So when they have heavy zone coverage, usually Jonnu's more involved, which leaves one of the receivers out. And I think it's going to be Waddle that's going to be the out man. So I think Tyreek Hill is going to have a pretty good game. My number three is Mr. Reliable, Puka Nacua. Puka is he's a monster. He's a target machine. He gets 12 targets at least almost every game, and he pulls in at least 10 of them, I feel like, every game. So, yeah, I don't know. I think Cooper's getting older. Cooper Kupp's getting older. I think Stafford just depends on Puka more. He's his first look now.
Yeah.
My number four, I got your boy, St. Brown. I'm on Ra. Again, this game's a shootout to me. This game's a shootout to me. So I think if that's the case, either Amon-Ra St. Brown's going to have a heavy reception game. If my guess, it's Amon-Ra's going to have like a 10-catch, 80-yard touchdown game, and Jameson Williams is going to have like a 3-catch, 150-yard, 2-touchdown game. He's going to have one of those deep ball games that J-Mo always gets, and then St. Brown gets the heavy targets. So I'll still put St. Brown in there as my top five. And my number five, like you, I got Nico. Nico, I think because of that game script, like we talked about, Stroud is both in our top fives. I think he's going to get Nico involved because when he doesn't, they don't look good. So Nico's going to have a big game.
Yeah.
Takes me to my tight ends. My top five tight ends don't really change much. It's tight end position. It's what happens. Let's see. I got Brock Bowers, number one. You can't not put him at number one. I'm going to change it up a little bit. I'm going to put McBride at number two. The way Kyler Murray targets McBride these last 4 or 5 weeks, for a tight end, he's averaging like 14 targets a game. That's insane. So
yeah,
he's
right that's up there crazy.
He's right up there with Brock Bowers in the target rate and catches. He's averaging like 12 catches a game these last like 4 games. So it's like you have to put him over Kelce and Kittle at this point. So then those will be my next two, Kelce and Kittle. It's the tight end position. It's just that's who they are. They're going to get, at this point, they're 5-6 catches, 80 yards, hopefully for a touchdown. Same with my number five is Jonnu. If you want to swap Jonnu out with somebody, someone I do like this week is Hunter Henry. He's been getting a lot of targets from Drake May ever since Drake May took over as a starting quarterback. And it's a game that I think the Patriots can stay in. So I think they'll be throwing a little bit more, which means more targets for Hunter Henry, which hopefully means more reception. So if you want to swap Jonnu out, I would put Hunter Henry in there also.
Well, I'll agree with you, and I'm going to swap Jonnu out with Laporta. Because if it's going to be a shootout, guess who's going to get a touchdown? Laporta. They're gonna have one of those draw up plays like they normally do. They're gonna fake a handoff, and guess who's gonna be open?
Yep.
Sam Laporta.
He might only get four targets, but he might just get three touchdowns out of them. So he's a red zone target machine.
He might get one of those games where it's just like a 5-6 yard game where he's got two touchdowns.
I agree.
So if it's gonna be a shootout, that's why he's up there in my top five. Like, because I'm agreeing with you. Like all four of those guys.
It's the same four
earlier.
Every year.
And so and same then four. Yeah, my fifth guy is I'm putting Laporta in there because because of the shootout.
The shootout game got to.
Yeah. So and. Yeah, he's my guy. He's been my guy since day one because he's on all three of my fantasy football teams. So
is he gonna be your fantasy pop?
No, my fantasy pops are actually Nico and Tyreek Hill. I feel like they're gonna both have good fantasy pops this week with both their matchups because I got both of them pretty high up on the wide receiver list right there. They're not usually there week in and week out, but I see both of them being my pop this week.
I like it. Changed mine up a little bit. I'm taking kind of your route. My pop is CJ Stroud just because of the matchup, and I like him as a pop because it's like we haven't seen it from him this year. So he started out pretty good the first two, three games of the season, and it's just like he just disappeared when Nico got hurt. So for them to keep wanting to win this division, they're going to have to win this game, so it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think CJ Stroud could finish top five, top four quarterback this week, so he's got to be a pop. My other pop will be Isaiah Pacheco. I think this could be one of those nice comeback games from his injury where he finally shows out because he hasn't really looked the greatest since he's come back. So, and I think if the Chiefs want to have a realistic – it's weird to say that they want to have a realistic chance of repeating Super Bowl champs or what it would be three-peating, they need Pacheco to be Pacheco because that was the reason why they won the Super Bowl last year was how he played in the playoffs. So I think they got to get him back to where he was before his injury to succeed, and I think he's going to find one of these games he's going to pop, and it's going to look like Pacheco again, so he's my pop. My duds. Throw Jordan Addison in there. It's how he's been this year. It doesn't surprise me he got a 30-point game, but next week it's probably – like this week is probably going to be like a 5-point game. It's what he did earlier in the year. He got like a 34-point game like the first game back from his injury. And then the next, like, 5 weeks, he was basically dropped because no one wanted him at that point. Yeah. So he's going to be my dud. He's too risky to start. He's a true boomer bust receiver. My other dud's going to be Najee Harris. Okay. I love Najee Harris. He's been awesome all year. But this is a tough matchup. The Eagles have a really good run defense, so I'd kind of like to stick away from him if you can.
Yeah, I hear that. I've got him up there. I've got basically my it's a double dud for me. It's Harrison kind of and Warren.
Yeah.
As my dud, both of them I don't see either of them doing much against that Eagles defense. It's just too like stellar to, you know,
you might be able to get some like PPR points from like Jalen Warren to get some receptions in, but yeah, I don't think you're going to get so much on the ground.
Yeah. And then my other dud is Flowers, Zay Flowers. I don't really see him do much with his matchup.
Are you trying to make yourself feel better?
Maybe.
Is it because you dropped him?
Yes.
You're sitting here praying that he does bad.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Mistakes were made.
Mistakes have been made, and I just have to – I guess I have to accept them and just – just curse everything.
He's got to curse him.
He's got to do it.
But I agree. I can see him having a dud game.
And going into starter sit. So, starter sit, Cooper Kupp.
Depending on who you're trying to put in for him.
All right. I'll just keep following up with the other.
Yeah, I don't want to say.
What
I'd
else almost... I've got? I've got Metcalf, Valdez, Scantling, and Neighbors.
Man, those are all tough. I mean, if DK is healthy, you'd kind of want to start DK. He still gets his targets. As long as he's healthy and he's going to play, you start him. Malik Neighbors, I like him, but I don't like the quarterback. So I mean, now that DeVito is back in, because your other quarterback is now in a walking boot, so it's going to be hard to trust them. I trust Malik Nabers. I don't trust the quarterback. So he's still going to get his targets. I just don't know that he's going to have these explosive games that we were expecting out of him. So I kind of like DK out of all those. It's hard to sit Cooper Kupp also. So
yeah,
it's difficult. He still gets his targets. So he might not have monster games like he used to, but he still gets the targets.
And it's 3-3 right now in the third quarter,
So there you go. It's a low scoring game, which is not looking good for either one of them.
But yeah, like that's the thing is Nabers against the Ravens, right? And then you got Valdes-Scandling against the Commanders. And then you got
DK
against the Packers.
So I like DK the best out of that, just because secondary injury with Green Bay, and they're going to have to throw the ball because the Packers are going to score points. So you'd have to go with DK on that one out of all that group of people. I like MVS. He's just – now he has a backup quarterback playing for him on a crappy team. Now what do they have left to play for? So it's just hard to trust that at that point, because I guess it's going to be Rattler again, and Rattler didn't really throw the ball deep when he was in – the first time Derek Carr was hurt. And that's all MVS is. He's literally just a deep ball guy. So my start and sits, I got a few of them for you. Let's see. Let's go with Nick Chubb. I'm going to give you my duds. Addison, Rashad White, and Pacheco. Obviously Rashad White's a start.
I can see you starting Rashad White over the other three.
Oh, absolutely. One name I wanted to throw in there, like just take Rashad White out of there. Put in Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's a tough one. He's on my team, and I'm having a tough time deciding how I want to set my lineup for this week. I'll give you a real-world scenario. Here you go. In our fantasy league, since we're not playing each other, we can be honest. Since
we're not playing each other, I mean, we can just
obviously, I'm starting Montgomery. Yeah. I got Najee here, so I need a running back and a flex play out of these three players: Najee Harris, Rashad White, Marvin Harrison Jr. I'm going to say if Bucky Irving's out, Rashad White's got to be my number one running back. So then we're looking at who do you like, Najee Harris or Marvin Harrison?
I like Harrison against the Pats. I can see him going off against them, to be honest.
I can too. So, it's a great matchup, and he's done good against good matchups, but it's like, I am scared to death of, I look at that game and I look at the stat sheets and it's showing 4 catches for 30 yards. And I don't expect Najee Harris to have a big game, but I could still see him putting up a solid 8-9 points and getting a random touchdown. So it scares me. And it's like, that's the actual true dilemma I'm facing right now with that. It's like, Najee Harris has carried me this season weirdly. So yeah, that'll be my start and sit question right there.
I hear that. All right, and that takes us into our Gambling Men exclusive this week. I changed up our first part of this to make it a 5-leg parlay of the week, Kyle.
Impossible. That's terrible advice to give people, even if they were listening to us. That's a terrible advice. No one does 5-leg parlays. That's just for fun.
I do.
I would say, how about this? Instead of
I put my money where my mouth is, and I make this a parlay every week.
I'll say this. How about out of the 5-leg parlay section, pick 3 out of the 5 and play your favorite ones. We'll give you 5 that we like. Pick 3, because I always say do a 3-leg parlay. It's the best odds you can get to make decent money without having to spend a lot of money. So like, take our 5 bets that we like. If you want to throw all 5 on, go for it. You're probably not going to get it. Pick your favorite 3, or pick your favorite 2 out of the ones we give you, and go with that. It's hard to do 5-leg parlays. Yeah, your odds are gonna be like 12.
Just make it and put it all together.
It's gonna be like 12. Yeah, for funsies, make them all and just throw $1 on it, because you could probably still win like $50 from it. That's how high the odds are gonna be. So, yeah, I would
go
say
big or go home.
I would say realistically, maybe just take 2 out of the 3, or 2 out of the 5, 3 out of the 5. But yeah, for funsies, do like $1 on the 5 of them.
All right. So
I'll let the viewers warn you. I looked it up. I was 1-for-4 last week. So good luck on the 5-leg parlay.
So my 5-leg parlay, which my stat is no hits yet.
I was 4-1 the first week, 1-4 this past week, so now I'm even.
Anyways, my first of the five picks is Lions money line over the Bills. I believe the Lions are going to beat the Bills. I'm just going to keep drinking the Kool-Aid, even though I'm completely done drinking it already. And then I got the Steelers money line over the Eagles. I've got the Canes money line over the Senators later on this week. Then you got Devils money line over the Blackhawks. The Devils are going to go play the Blackhawks here, I think, on Saturday or Sunday. And then a game on Sunday, or no, I should say Saturday. That's a Saturday game. Wrexham money line over Cambridge United. Wrexham's looking to win. They need to win this game to stay on top of the leaderboards and get that promotion into the next league. Like, this is a must win for them. They know it. I believe that they're going to do it.
I like them. I feel like with your Pittsburgh and Eagles and then the Lions games, I like the calls, but I would almost look at, if you're going to make those bets, if you just want to look for odds, how confident are you the Lions are going to win? Or do you think it could be really like a 50-50 shot on both of those games?
I feel like at least the Lions-Bills is going to be 50-50. I think I could go with the line with the Steelers because, like, the Steelers are good at, like, getting the lead and keeping the ball.
At that point, would you just want to take whichever one has the plus money?
Yeah, I'd take the –
because it could be like – I feel like those both of those games would go either way. It's like, well, at this point, just take the best odds. You think, like, if one team's plus money, one team's minus, just take the plus at that point. Boost your odds. But unless you're really confident that you think that one team's going to win.
Yep.
Yeah, I like it. My five. I got the Texans versus the Dolphins. I like the over right now, or when I put my notes down. It was, I think, 47 or 47.5. I like the over in that game. So the implied total is like Dolphins 25 or something like that. Dolphins 25, Texans 22. I think it's going to be more points than that. Dolphins seem to put up points, and we talked about it with fantasy that we like Stroud and Nico. So I think they're going to score a lot of points in that. So I like the over 47. My number two, Broncos -4 over the Colts. I just don't believe in Anthony Richardson. Sorry, Florida fans. He's a freak athlete, awesome arm strength. He's just not accurate. I just don't think he's a true NFL quarterback. I just don't see it. So I like the Broncos. He's got to go into Denver. It's hard to play in Denver for your first time ever playing there. That altitude's a real thing. So give me Broncos -4. I talked about it earlier with my gut prediction as my third pick with Ohio State over Auburn. I wouldn't go as far as just straight up taking the money line on Ohio State Auburn, but I would take the plus. I don't know that. When I wrote my notes down, they didn't release the plus minus yet for it yet, and I doubt they have yet. If I had to guess, it's probably going to be like plus 12, plus 13, somewhere in there. So I would hammer that. I think Ohio State has a good chance to upset them. If not, at least keep it close playing at home. So take the plus money on that. My number four, take the Purdue minus. Again, I don't have the points because they didn't release them yet. But whatever, I have a feeling Purdue's going to be favored. So take the Purdue minus over Texas A&M. Unless it's something absurd like 12 points, 13 points, which I don't think it'll be. If it's in the single digits, I would take the Purdue minus. And my number five is Green Bay -3 over Seattle. I think Green Bay needs a bounce back game, at least to keep it competitive in the NFC North. I just think they're a much better team than Seattle, so I like them -3, even though it's in Seattle. I would hammer that -3.
I hear that. So I had to go back and do a little research since you asked. Right now it's got the Lions are favored by 2.5. So
just take the money line at that point.
Yeah, and then the Eagles are actually favored, so I guess I would have to like just take the Steelers to cover.
You would take your Steelers. Yeah, take your Steelers plus money on that at that point.
So the Steelers with the plus 5.5. So that would put that at.
Would you like the Steelers to cover, or do you think Steelers actually are going to win that game?
I think the Steelers are going to win.
So I would take the Steelers money line. You're going to get better odds on that then.
Because the Steelers money line is +205.
Yeah, I like that.
And then to cover is -112.
So yeah, if you truly think Steelers are going to win, you just take the money line at that point. Just take them straight up to win. That's plus money.
Yeah, and that's what I was getting confused about. I was like, well, let me look at what it looks like since he's asking me, and I have no idea.
Yeah, I would hammer that all day. I like that because especially if you're confident and you feel like Steelers win,
yeah,
just take the plus money. Don't even bother with the spread. Just take the money.
So that'll put that at plus 205 for them to win it money line.
I like that. We'll go right into it. My top player props. Again, we like kind of took our notes a little earlier, so it's not like exact, but it's what I would like to bet on. My number one's the Burrow touchdown over. It's typical quarterback overs on touchdown passes, 1.5. So
yeah,
unless it changes to something outrageous for Burrow because he's had the year he's had, they might move it to 2.5. If it stays at 1.5, take the Burrow touchdown over. If it goes to 2.5, just don't touch it. Go to like Goff or Josh Allen and hammer that 1.5. I would probably hammer the Goff more on the 1.5, but if Burrow's given 1.5 touchdowns over, I would take that one.
I gotcha.
My number two, also back to how we talked about in fantasy, if Bucky Irving's out only, I like Rashad White over total yards, whatever they give him. I take the total yards because he's going to get receiving yards. He's going to get rushing yards. I would say my limit would be like 120. If they go to like 140, I'd probably go under on that, or I wouldn't really touch it. But if it's sub hundreds, hammer that all day. And then number three, kind of talked about a little bit. I think Pacheco has a bounce back game, so I'll give Pacheco with an anytime touchdown.
I hear that. So I'm going to take my three, and I'm just going to say I've got Aho with the over 2.5 shots on goal. He's been playing really well this season. Just capitalizing on my Canes money line over the Sens. Just going to throw it on top of that. And then on top of my Lions money line win, I will parlay it with a Montgomery anytime touchdown for sure. And then I've got with the Devils money line, I will parlay that with a Jack Hughes over 2.5 shots on goal. Because the kid is just...
It's only 2.5 for him?
That's where it normally sits for a lot of players. Sometimes you have to go...
Jack Hughes loves to shoot, too, so I kind of like that one.
So, normally that's where it normally sits. When you go in, it's normally at over 2.5. Sometimes they'll raise it to be 3.5, and even with Jack Hughes, you could still probably hit it with the 3.5 for sure.
That's true.
Because that's the thing is, like, what my brother Jake says is you got to look for the guys that get a lot of power play time.
Yep. Like especially the shooters on the power play time.
Yes, exactly. And guess who shoots on the power play more often than anybody on the Devils?
I mean, he just shoots nonstop anyways.
And so, and then with the Canes, you got Sebastian Aho's more out there more often than most of the other players when it's a power play for the Canes.
Yep.
So, definitely hit on those. Those are some money makers for you.
I do like that. What about your don't bet on it?
Do not bet on the Jets and the Jags game. Just don't do it. They're falling apart. We had Aaron Rodgers coming on to the Pat McAfee show today saying that he feels like the team is cursed. And so, let's just stay away from the curse, guys. Let's just stay away from...
I'll back you up on that one. Stay away from that one.
And then
it's an ugly game.
Obviously, the team kind of stays there. They're still falling apart. I don't know if they'll figure it out. Is the New York Rangers. Don't bet on the New York Rangers. I mean, they've had some good games. They got some good players, but they got to figure things out, man. Yes. They had
it reminds me
quite
of last
the game
year.
Last like last night was not a good game on TNT. Let me tell you that much.
They remind me of last year's team. They kind of did the same thing, and then out of nowhere, they went like on that 16 straight wins to put them in the playoffs.
Yeah, and they're doing the complete opposite right now.
Yeah,
and then my third don't bet on it. Army Navy. Don't bet on the Army Navy game.
What about the rushing yards?
I mean, I don't want to at all.
It's fair. It's gonna be like, probably a boring game.
Like that's the thing is like so with Army being such a good team as they are, I feel like they can beat up Navy and win. But the thing is like you just never know when it comes to this game, because it's just a really big rivalry game. It's the only game going on Saturday for football wise, and it's just America's game. Just let it be America's game.
Yeah, I agree. There's no other games to bet on at that time. It used to be.
I mean, you got basketball to bet.
Yeah, you still got basketball, but
you still got college basketball.
Well, now you got, well, don't the playoffs start? Is that next week?
That's next week.
Next week, yeah. My three, I don't want to bet. I really just don't want to touch the Detroit Bills because I don't know how that game's going to go either way. I do think it's going to be a high-scoring game. So it's like, if I still wouldn't even want to touch like the touchdowns. Like, I wouldn't touch the passing touchdowns because what if it's just Gibbs and Montgomery game instead of Jared Goff game? What if you put money on Josh Allen to get you two passing touchdowns and he just runs for three more again? It's like, I don't like this game. If you're going to bet this game, bet the over, unless it's outrageous. Like, that would be the only thing I might touch. But other than that, I would stay away from that game. And it goes right back to my other game, also Eagles-Steelers. I don't want to touch that one either because I think this game, I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. But if I turn it on and I see it's 34-40, I wouldn't be surprised because both teams can still put up points. Yep. I don't like it. I don't really like any player specifically in this game. Or, like, I don't know. I'd stay away from it. Ironically, I was going to tell people to stay away from the 49ers-Rams. And look, it's working. It's 3-3.
It's 3-3 in the
I would not have touched this game. Like, this game screams ugly game to me. Before the game, obviously, I can't really go else into it. But it just screamed like it was going to be an ugly game, and I didn't like it. So there was no reason the 49ers are going to put up a lot of points on the Rams, so I just don't think the Rams were going to put – they kind of just played to their opponent. Rams have all year, so it was just going to be a bad-looking game. So those are mine.
All right. And so that takes us homeward bound. Lions are number one, Kyle. They're number one.
Number
one. The whole NFL. They're favored. They're the Super Bowl favored. Can they finally get to the promised land? Is the question.
The odds makers have them up there pretty high with it. See, they're going to be, looks like the Lions versus the Chiefs, Lions versus the Bills, or Lions versus the Ravens were the most percentages of them. The only other team besides the Lions was like the Eagles filling in for that spot.
Wow.
So a lot of people believe in it. So
a lot of people are drinking my
hey, they look good.
They're
adding
my Kool-Aid.
Adding your defensive end was a big help. I forgot his name. He used to play for the Packers. And then he got moved over there. When you guys added Zadarius a couple games ago, he's got like 5 sacks in 4 games. So
yeah, we got him from the Browns because
he's been a huge addition for you guys
for sure. But the Packers, they're looking like a quality wild card to me. Like,
I just feel like at this point they're just stuck in the wild card. They're kind of like losing ground on the Vikings and Lions. They got to play the Vikings one more time, so that could help the Lions' sake, honestly.
Yeah,
not really the Packers' sake. Packers need the Lions to lose today and then lose to the Vikings at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And the Packers got to win out. But, yeah, it's not really even just the Packers and the Lions. This was, like, the whole NFC minus the Bears. The NFC North is crazy. Like, they showed a stat. I forgot what it was. It was, like, the Packers, Lions, and the Vikings are combined. It was, like, 29-3 not playing each other.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, playing outside the NFC North.
Yeah, playing outside the NFC North, they're like combined like 29 and 3. Each team has one loss.
Yep.
Outside. Like, each team only has lost one game outside of the NFC North. It's like, that's an insane stat. I mean, it was also against the AFC South, so.
Granted, against the AFC South.
But it's still football, AFC South and AFC West, but whatever. Games of football, NFL's NFL, so.
I mean, the AFC West is kind of coming back up. I mean, you got the Broncos are coming back together a little bit. You got the Chargers are playing a lot.
Jimmy taking the Chargers.
Exactly, and then obviously you have the Chiefs, but But I digress. And then the Wolverines basketball, we both got them kind of looking good. We can agree on that.
They control the turnovers. They're going to be fun to watch. A tournament team, we get to finally go dancing again.
Going dancing, man.
Going dancing. It's been a minute, so I'll be excited. And NC State's playing well again. They had a tough loss against Purdue. last week, but
and they got Kansas coming up this Saturday.
I know they've had a brutal schedule, big game. And they've looked good. It's not like they're bad losses; they look good. So
yeah,
hopefully they can maybe pull an upset or at least keep that game close.
Yeah, and then I've got a little bit of ice pack action. They pulled off the sweep this weekend against UC Wilmington, which is a pretty big double win for them.
Wilmington's usually pretty tough too.
And so, and then they're on a break now until January. So when they come back, they got a Christmas break, and then they got to come back and get to play Delaware. And you know, it's right back to the grind for them.
Are they going to do another outdoor game this year with UNC?
They already did it.
Oh, they already did it. I thought that was in January.
It was a battle in the ballpark. No, they did that.
They do it in the Durham Field.
No, it was down in Charlotte. They played down in Charlotte against South Carolina.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, they lost. They lost 5-3, but it was a whole thing too. It was like they had App State playing UNC Charlotte, and then they had Chapel Hill played. I can't remember who they played, but they had like a three game,
like a little mini tournament out there,
basically.
Yeah, like, that's cool.
Three separate games, basically. And
nice.
Seemed like everybody had fun.
Yeah, it'd be a good time. It's a cool experience.
Yeah. And so, and then Red Wings, obviously, falling apart tonight, 4-1, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's the lawn is gone.
Obviously, you already answered my question earlier because I had the question on my script. When will the Red Wings fire head coach?
Yeah, and my script was Red Wings need to go on a streak or the lawn is gone. So you might as well just say Red Wings, the lawn is gone because they're not going on a streak. So I have a feeling it's coming any day now. They don't look good anymore. They look kind of good to start the season, but it's just like, they have the team to do it. They're just not gelling together. They need change. They need something to spark some change in here. So, yeah. Them Canes still look good.
Yep, they're still looking good.
Nice. Not much in baseball besides the Soto signing. Yankees lose out on Soto, but.
Yeah. I mean, that signing with the Mets, that's
crazy signing. Not worth it. Not worth it. Too much money.
Yeah. Well.
Get five good players. For the price of one. So
at the end of the day, that's kind of what the Tigers do.
Yeah, just get five good players. That's all you need.
All right. Well, this has been This and That Podcasting Podcast. I'm Alex Bauer.
And I'm Kyle Dobus.
And, yeah, signing off. Y'all have yourself a good rest of your night.
See ya.
Peace.